Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM on your radio dial. We're coming to you live on a weekend that is full of possibilities for conversation, for dialogue, for sharing about matters of spirituality, belief, religion, superstition, our highest ideals and our deepest dreams. Give us a call at 576-7710 so that you can be part of the conversation. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Alan Lonti of the New Reformed Temple.
And our good friend, Rabbi Michael Zedek, will be back with us next Sunday. But it is good to see you, Rabbi, in his stead here. And thank you for joining the conversation this morning. Well, we have at least two passings to remark upon. Both of them have religious dimensions in their lives and in our connections with them. One is Marcus Borg, the great scholar who passed this week. And the other is the one who proves that hope is always, always a possibility, and that was Ernie Banks of the Chicago Cubs, and now a blessed memory. But we have much more to talk about. John, what is on your agenda this morning?
Well, the Supreme Court had a 9-0 decision for religious liberty. A Muslim wanted to have a beard that was, I think it was only a half inch in length, and the court in Arkansas struck it down, and so did the Federal Appeals Court. But the Supreme Court, in a 9-0 decision, ruled that prison officials cannot arbitrarily ban peaceful religious practices. What's interesting about this case is that his name is Mr. Muhammad. He represented himself. He filed a lawsuit seeking the ability to wear a half-inch beard. He lost in federal trial court in the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals, and then he submitted a handwritten petition for an injunction to the Supreme Court, which agreed to hear his appeal in full. So here's a guy without any money in prison, and he was able to get his case up to the Supreme Court. From there, it was handed off to the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, and I was glad to see that decision. That also follows the 9-0 ruling in Hosanna versus Tabor, Hosanna Tabor versus the EEOC, which the Wall Street Journal called one of the most important religious liberty cases in a half century. That was the Lutheran school that was reaffirmed that they had the responsibility and or the authority to decide who was a minister in their school or in their congregation when they let one, when they let somebody go who didn't agree with Lutheran doctrine.
That was kind of a layup shot, wasn't it? I would have anticipated a 9-0.
Well, you would too, and then I was just kind of stunned why the federal court and the appeals court was so far off the mark. And
you mean the lower courts?
The lower courts were so far off the mark, and that brings up something about lower courts. Ben Carson said that Congress had the authority and power to remove lower court justices, federal justices. And so people are questioning why some of these justices are not being removed by Congress after Congress passes bills and then the lower courts overturn them. Is it time to have a balance of power, an equilibrium between the courts, Congress, and the president? And there seems to be angst amongst people that the courts have gone too far, especially in some of these referendums that have come up. Well, that have passed by 70% and 80%, specifically that those defining marriage as between a man and a woman, and somehow that can just be thrown out after, what, 4,000 years of culture and tradition. And so anyway, Ben Carson, I thought, had a great response to that. And then we have a story here is a lavish wedding a prelude to divorce? If you spend between $5,000 and $10,000 on the wedding and less than $1,000 on the ring, there is half the possibility that you will have a divorce.
Say that again.
If you only spend between $5,000 and $10,000 on the wedding and less than $1,000 with the ring, then you will have half the hazard of divorce.
So you need to spend more on the wedding?
No, you need to spend. The less you spend,
the better you are.
Yeah, the less you spend on the wedding, really?
Yes, really. This warms my heart with five daughters.
Yeah. Well, out of your own self-interest, enlightened or otherwise, I could understand why you would be attracted to that. But
it caught my eye. It also caught my wallet.
But you know something? It has some practical implication, because in my experience, when people come in to see you in a premarital interview, if they're more focused in on the wedding ceremony instead of being focused in on their marriage, something happens.
Big warning signs. And when you do your premarriage conferences, I know in the Catholic Church they have to attend 6 conferences and a natural family planning course. How about in your congregation? Is there an organized course put together or plan?
No. Look.
But what do you normally do?
I meet with the couple.
Once, twice?
Oh,
multiple.
Three or four times. Uh-huh. We go over various things, including the wedding ceremony. We talk about marriage. We talk about family values. We talk about reconciliation, how you fight, how you resolve issues. There's a lot of important things, but I think there's some truth to that.
And then Pope Francis said that large families are a gift from God after he was misquoted incorrectly by using the R word.
You're right.
with Catholics.
I mean, does Pope Francis say that, or does some office then clarify his remarks?
No, he, on his Wednesday audience, the next, I think the day or two after he had returned back from the Philippines, it says, quote unquote, large families are a true gift from God. And so he clarified his remarks because he saw how they were taken grossly out of context. And he also...
Is he urging people to have large families?
No. What the church does is that the church urges people to practice responsible parenthood. And the church doesn't put any number on the amount of children that married couples could have. They say in consultation with each other and with God and still respecting the norms of being open to life and spacing births using natural methods, the couple decides for themselves what is appropriate, what the appropriate number of children is for their family. I know in my family, we have seven beautiful children. We've had 11 pregnancies, 4 miscarriages. When we got married, we knew that we had the means to be open and generous. I came from a family of 7. My wife was the 6th in a family of 7. And so we had in our background, we didn't have any fear of a large family. And we actually had so much fun having a large family, growing up in a large family and having all these relationships and all these reunions, and that it was just a natural thing for us to say, we're going to be open to life, and whatever we're blessed with, we're going to take. And so we were able to be open to that reality. Of course, you never know if you're going to have 1 or 101, so to speak, but when the first child comes along, it's just a beautiful experience from the married couple because they get to participate as co-creators, and all of a sudden you realize when a miscarriage comes that you're really not the author of life, that you're just the ministers cooperating with God.
We're going to need to take a break, and we're going to be right back after these messages for a lot of other topics. Give us a call at 576-7710, 576-7710.
Are you starting your day with the KCMO Morning Show and Greg Knapp?
My culture that I grew up in, you never get a C. If you get a C, you should be ashamed of yourself. And there's going to be big problems at the Knapp House if you bring home a C. So what happened? Well, I buckled down and worked hard and asked to teach for extra credit, and I got a B. Never got a C. Yeah, culture matters.
The KCMO Morning Show with Greg Knapp, weekdays 5 till 9 on KCMO Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7.
Get the low van price and the van advantage at Van Chevrolet in the Van Autoplex, I-29 and Vivian Road.
Stay up to date with the KCMO Morning Show with Greg Knapp. Download the new KCMO Talk Radio mobile app in your app store and take us wherever you go. Listen live online 24/7 worldwide. Powered by Wholesale Batteries. Wholesale Batteries gives you the power.
Hey, this is Holly Starr.
And this is Lauren McCarthy. We want to thank all of our veterans for your service.
Cars for Christmas and Cars for Heroes helps over 300 families each year.
Because we called you this morning to tell you that we're going to give you a car.
If you'd like to donate a vehicle or money to give veterans the freedom they so justly deserve,
please visit cars4heroes.org.
There are a lot of kids in this country who didn't have a parent at their baseball games or recitals because their parents were serving in faraway places. But now their parents are coming home from battle. Some with wounds you can see, and some with wounds you can't see, like post-traumatic stress disorder. Every day, Wounded Warrior Project assists wounded warriors and their families with the Warriors to Work program, a program that helps warriors translate their military experience to civilian job experience, and they help employers find the right warrior for the right job.
My mom used to be a tank programmer. Now she works with computers. I'm really glad she's home because I can't eat my dad's marshmallow macaroni anymore.
I was 2 when my dad went away to war. He was there for 3 of my birthdays. Now he's home and he's a logistics specialist.
If you're looking for proven professionals, contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
There's been a rumor going around my school lately about a new draft. So I decided to check out the facts. Turns out, there is no draft. And if there ever was going to be one, we'd have plenty of notice. But you know what else I found out? Young men like me still need to register with Selective Service when we turn 18. Why register when there's no draft? Well, first off, it's the law. Guys have had to register for almost 60 years. Second, if you're a guy living in the U.S. and you don't register, you get shut out of important opportunities like college loans, job training, good jobs, and even a driver's license in most states. But I guess for me, I registered because it's the right thing to do. Things are crazy in this world right now. And if the country ever does decide it needs me, I'm going to do my part.
Guys, register with Selective Service when you turn 18. Go to sss.gov or your local post office.
The Diagnostic Imaging Center's Health and Wellmobile in participation with Title Boxing Clubs, Roxy's Healthy Treats, and McCarthy Auto Group and Lauren Wants to Know brings health and wellness directly to you. Free and low-cost health screen scans and health education information are provided daily in communities all around Kansas City.
This week, visit us at Le Perry Sunfresh, the Mexican Consulate, Blue Parkway Sunfresh, Constantino Sunfresh on Vivian Road, and the Psychedelic 5K Trail Run.
Visit us online at healthwellmobile.com. That's healthwellmobile.com.
The following message is about Medicaid and CHIP, free or low-cost health coverage for kids and teens. Enrollment is open year-round.
Hey, voice lady, give me the mic.
Okay.
Hey, DJ, let's switch up the music. That's better. So listen up, moms and dads out there. There are these programs called Medicaid and CHIP. They offer free or low-cost health coverage for kids. Things like doctor and dentist visits, prescriptions, and shots are covered. All the stuff that keeps kids like me healthy and in charge.
So, as you can tell, a covered kid is a confident kid. And it means confident parents, too. To learn more about affordable health coverage for your family, visit healthcare.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. That's 1-877-543-7669.
Yep, you could do something big for your family today because enrollment is open year-round.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
And Sophia.
Don't be a part of the herd. Be heard. Your opinion counts. KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Alan Londy of the New Reformed Temple.
And you can also reach us at 103.7 FM either way, and KCMOTalkRadio.com. You can also get us on the internet. We'd love to receive an email from you as a question, a comment. John, what's our email address?
5767710@gmail.com.
And we've been talking about a lot of things. We've got a lot more to talk about. Alan, what is on your mind this morning?
I was terrified to read this past week that 2014 was the hottest year in the history of recorded temperatures, and I think there's continuous evidence of a process of global warming, and it's not on the agenda. Mm. The president doesn't speak about it. Many people in Congress don't even believe it's a. They think it's a hoax, and I don't think that's good for the future of the world. And I think as religious people, we have a responsibility of stewardship, of protecting this world. And it doesn't seem to be an issue that gets any serious political traction. Mm. And it's not an issue that we're over-speaking about in religious communities. Very frightening article. It's something, again, we read about it, but we don't focus in on it. We don't really talk about it as a reality, and the future of our world depends on it.
And so if you are part of an ecology group, if you're part of a faith-based group in the greater Kansas City area or anywhere, if you're within the sound of our voices, however, wherever you are, give us a call at 576-7710 and tell us what's on your mind about global warming, climate change, this fact that Rabbi Londy just mentioned it, the warmest year in recorded history.
And well, since they've been had the instrumentation to record.
Okay. Yeah. 576-7710. Any rate, other topics that we want to suggest for folks to engage and or we take your topics. Give us a call at 576-7710, and we'll respond to what you would like to talk about as well. We've had the passing of the Martin Luther King events this past week. And this past Monday was the holiday itself. And this morning, however, at Community Christian Church and at St. James, we kind of continue. We have an aftershock, if you will, or an afterburn or an afterglow. An afterglow would be the way to put it. A pulpit exchange between St. James United Methodist Church and Community. And I will be leaving early, by the way, because of that, at about 7:30. To get over to the 8 o'clock service at St. James, and then Reverend Emmanuel Cleaver III will be in our pulpit at 10:45, and we'll have a pulpit and music exchange. Those kinds of experiences are profound and exciting and interesting. If you've had one in your congregation over the last 2 weeks, or if this is a part of your regular kind of congregational rhythm, whether it's this time of year or another time of year, give us a call, 576-7710, 576-7710. John, we were talking about names during the break, naming children and the rest.
Yeah, and we had an interesting off-the-air conversation. Rabbi was explaining to me first of all, he was giving us the names of some of his children, and he would always follow it with, "and the name means." And I thought it was so beautiful because in my home, I have a giant wall frame with the names of all the children in them and a little plaque with the meaning of the names underneath them. And every time a grandchild is born, I go out and I get one of these little posters with the meaning of the name of on the grandchild, and I pass it on. And at one time, I used to have this apostolate so that when my kids were invited to somebody's birthday party, I would make them a clock, and I'd put their name on the top, and I put the meaning of their name on the bottom. Because before I named any of my children, I always looked, number one, I looked in the scriptures of the day when they were born. I kind of was listening to the Holy Spirit in prayer, what we should name them. We took this very seriously because we felt that the meaning of the child's name is so important, and I didn't want to name somebody inadvertently like Princess Sourpuss or something, you know? And so I can tell you the meanings of our children's names. The first one means Christian, next one Diligent Harvester, third one God's Gracious Gift, fourth Devoted One, next Like Unto the Lord, Noble One and Living Fragrance. And and those are the meanings of Christine, Teresa, John, Elizabeth, Michael, Patricia, and Mary Rose. And then the rabbi said, oh, I'll let you speak for yourself of what you said about transmitting a name. Transmits a value?
The naming of our children was the most complex thing my wife and I ever did. Because we wanted names that not only were after deceased relatives, we wanted names that have meaning. So, and we also wanted the name to be a Hebrew name because we didn't want our children to have a split identity. They're part of this world, and they have a name that represents both their reality, their place in this world and the secular world, but also in the religious world. So we went through this long process with our daughter. We named her Liora, which is a nice Hebrew name, not found in the Bible, but a modern Hebrew name, which means a light unto me. And then we named her Tamar, which is reflects the date palm. And she was named after my father, and the Tamar represents uprightness. And I felt my father was an incredibly upright and a man of great integrity. So we took that value, and we found Tamar to reflect it. So very, very Kabbalistic explorations here to get the right name.
Well, we did the same thing. We gave all of our children three names. You know, when you first have that first child, you think, well, is this the only one God's going to bless us with? And so we wanted to honor the grandparents. And so my father-in-law's name was Cecil, so we named the third name of our oldest daughter, Cecile. Mm-hmm. And then my mother's name was Jane, and when we had the second one, we put Jane as third name for that one. And then my dad's name was Henry, and that was in the third name. And then down the line there, I left the hospital one day with the child having one name. I came back. It was another name, according to my wife. But we used that other name for the sixth child, and that was named after my mother-in-law. Hmm. And so we were able to get all the grandparents honored in that for the same reason of transmitting this tradition, transmitting this value. And so I love how that tradition is alive in your tradition and in mine.
In the tradition of Judaism, Rabbi Landi, do you also have another name that is given at either the brist or a naming ceremony? Or is it that you were talking about these are the names that your children go by?
You know, in secular culture and in Western civilization, Jews wanted modern names. So it often was the case that they got a name reflecting the society, and they also had receive a Hebrew name.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I didn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted my children to have one identity that unified them. I wanted them simultaneously to be living in this world and connected to their tradition.
Mm-hmm.
because they feed off of each other and they strengthen each
other. Okay, interesting. Very. So in your case, no two names, but no. In other cases, there are two names.
Yes.
Okay. 576-7710. We're going to be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line.
KCMO. Can't get enough talk radio? Get KCMO online at kcmotalkradio.com. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at KCMO Talk Radio. Stay connected to your favorite personalities and get updates 24/7. KCMO 710. And now on FM at 103.7. Kansas City's talk station, AM, FM, and online at kcmotalkradio.com.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
You've heard that before. You heard it on the radio. Only the radio. Hi, I'm Mitch Holtis, telling you that if you want your customers to remember your business in a similar way, go to cumulusradio.com to learn how. You're listening right now, and so are your customers. In fact, this Cumulus Media radio station has enough potential customers listening to fill Arrowhead Stadium many times over. Go to cumulusradio.com today and build your business. Change your business with radio.
CBS News Update. I'm Gary Nahn. President Obama condemns what he calls the brutal murder of one of two Japanese hostages killed by ISIS. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe,
interpreter.
We are analyzing the authenticity of the photo, and unfortunately, I must say it is likely to be authentic. I'm speechless, thinking of the pain his family must be feeling now.
Efforts now focus on saving the life of a second captive in exchange for a suspected woman terrorist.
They're asking for the release of a woman whose name is Sajida al-Rishawi. Now, she is in prison in Jordan. She is a would-be suicide bomber. She was arrested in 2005 for attempting to blow up a hotel in the Jordanian capital. She has links to IS, pretty tenuous links as far as we understand, but certainly links strong enough for them to want her release in exchange for Kenji Goto.
Sky News correspondent Mark Stone in Beijing. CBS News Update, I'm Gary Nutt.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
Temperatures will stay very mild through the overnight tonight, but look out for Sunday. Increasing clouds tonight. West-southwest winds at about 12 to 18 miles per hour. Still pretty warm when you step out the door early Sunday morning. The temperature at 37 degrees. But on Sunday, with mostly cloudy skies and a 20% chance for a few sprinkles, north-northwest winds will come howling in at 16 to 24. Temperatures stay in the 30s all day. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Gary Yamble.
You can't buy a best friend. You can love them, walk them, pet them, and care for them, whether they want you to or not. You can take a picture or 50. You can fly to the moon, travel the world, or just stay in bed. You can't buy a best friend like that. But you can adopt one. There are millions of pets waiting for a best friend just like you. Help us save them all at bestfriends.org.
The new Lincoln cars and SUVs are simply gorgeous. And right now, Northdown Lincoln is having their year-end wish list sale. That means you can save a lot of money on the purchase or lease of a new or Lincoln-certified pre-owned vehicle. They're more affordable than you think. A Lincoln-certified 2012 MKZ starts at only $17,950. Yes, under 18 grand. And this Lincoln is luxurious by standards and certified by ours. Northdown Lincoln has over 100 to choose from. All your favorites. The Lincoln MKX, MKC, and MKT Sport Utilities, the MKZ and MKZ Sedan, and every Lincoln model is available with all-wheel drive. Wish list savings make leasing a new Lincoln very affordable, but you can't delay. Head north to I-29 and Vivian Road in KC North for Northtown Lincoln. Get huge year-end savings and a super low car payment. See our complete inventory at northtownlincoln.com. But hurry, when these wish list Lincolns are gone, they're gone.
Is your health or wellness-related business interested in acquiring new patients and customers? Would showcasing your practice or business face-to-face with potential new patients and customers at over 300 high-profile local events be of interest to you? Yes? Learn about Kansas City's Health and Wellmobile by calling 913-514-3062. That's 913-514-3062 or visit healthwellmobile.com. That's healthwellmobile.com. Presented by Diagnostic Imaging Centers PA and Cumulus Media of Kansas City.
Babies come with lots of decisions.
Cloth or disposable? Crib or bassinet?
So when it comes to protection, go with the safest, most effective choice, vaccination. Get all the recommended vaccines for your baby by age 2 to protect your child against 14 serious childhood diseases. For more reasons to vaccinate, talk to your child's doctor. Go to cdc.gov/vaccines or call 800-CDC-INFO. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Kansas City's talk station.
Kansas City's talk station.
Making it even easier to listen.
KCMO Talk Radio 710. And now at 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM on your radio dial at 576-7710 on your telephone pad, on your dial. Give us a call, 576-7710, and engage in dialogue about matters of spirituality, religion, faith and belief, and all the rest. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Alan Londi of the New Reformed Temple.
And we are going to welcome back Rabbi Zedek next Sunday. He is away this particular Sunday, but he'll be back with us next a week from today. What other topics did we want to suggest, and or what is on our mind these days? John?
Well, this past...
You look like you're chomping at the bit.
Well, this past week was the March for Life in Washington, D.C. There was hundreds of thousands that showed up. Pope Francis sent a tweet. They also, people showed up in Topeka, Kansas City Courthouse, and Jeff City. And I think we're up to 57 million unborn children aborted in this country, and close to 1.3 billion worldwide. And it's just a tragic thing that life in the womb is not protected. And this kind of came up with Pope Francis while he was in the Philippines, when they asked him questions, and he said that Paul VI was right to challenge contraception as the way not to go.
And is contraception the statistics are actual abortions performed in medical facilities? Is that the statistic? Is that where the statistic comes from?
I think the statistic might actually come from the Guttmacher Institute, but I'd have to check it. The 57 million, I think, came actually from the CDC because they kept statistics.
Right. Okay.
And the 1.3 billion.
I'm just saying, for those couples that use artificial contraception or for whatever you know, human-made contraception, you're not counting.
No, we're not counting that.
Potential, no. Although that is against your church's teaching.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But
yeah, because that would, in some cases, it prevents implantation of the fertilized egg in the womb. And so we call, you know, we consider that, but it's not counted. And it's just this, Pope Francis didn't talk so much about contraception as he did talk about openness to life. And that's what the encyclical Humanae Vitae talked about, was this openness to life. And Paul VI had prophecies that if this was accepted on a worldwide basis, that it would lead to infidelity and a moral decline. It would be a general lowering of morality. There would be a loss of respect for women. There would be an abuse of power by governments. And Pope Francis alluded to this in the term he used, ideological colonization, where government aid is tied to, let's say, for instance, accepting textbooks like gender theory, and or it's tied to accepting abortion and contraception as foreign aid. You don't get health care for women unless you accept these things. And so the abuse of power, and we see it in the forced abortion programs in China. He said that it would lead to an unlimited dominion, that man would think that he had unlimited dominion over his own body. And this
you know, John, there's a lot of other opinions that would, you know,
I know, but I'm giving you the Catholic opinion.
Let me ask you this.
There's also a positive thing that Open This to Life did. He said that it would teach self-discipline. It would favor attention for one's partner. It would help both parties drive out selfishness, and it would deepen a true sense of responsibility. It would bring fruits of serenity and peace to the married couple. And so, and it would foster this gift that we have from the Holy Spirit called self-control, self-governance, and self-discipline.
Yeah, there's a lot of women and men who would believe that contraception also is a form of self-control, an expression of that, and the method of planning for a family is in question, and the science that has been developed over time is championed by others who believe that actually it's liberated women and given them freedom not to be burdened by only being child bearers, and that their womb does not define them as human beings, but that they have lives outside their mothering capacities.
And we would agree with that statement as well. But something's happened since the 60s. 73% of children used to live with two married parents, and now we're down to less than half. The amount of children born outside of marriage is now 41%. So we have this.
Well, there's a lot of sociological factors that go into it, and it's not all going to be laid at the feet of contraception or a woman's alternative in the case especially of rape, incest, and or forced, somehow otherwise forced. It's immorally, it's an immorality to be forced to have a pregnancy. Whatever.
Yeah, those are terrible circumstances that happen.
And those are ones that I always want to have a woman to have a right to an abortion for. So, and there's countless others that are faithful people, seeking to be faithful every day, day by day, that would also, I think, be in that position as well. Just we're not going to solve that dilemma, I don't think, in my lifetime.
Well, at least not on this radio show.
Yeah, not on this radio show. 576-7710 is the number to call. 576-7710 is the number to call.
We have another study that says money makes you less sad, but not more happy. So that's interesting. My wife said it sure is helpful when you have to pay the bills. So anyway, and then we have there's at least in Catholic circles we have this tension with families who are open to life and who bring children into the world, and they want to be able to send them to a Catholic grade school and high school, but there's this tension because of being open to life, the tuition in the schools has gone up so dramatically since we no longer have a plethora of religious sisters teaching in the schools. And so that becomes a challenge for these faithful families that want to pass on the faith in the Catholic private schools but just can't afford them. So there's discussion going out there of how that can happen, either with the setting up foundations, tuition tax credits, rechanneling your taxes to the parents, and the parents decide and direct the money to the school of their choice. Of course, it'd be great if these schools were accredited so that there would be some kind of control, but perhaps the accreditation should come from the organizations and not the government, because in our way of thinking, I don't know about in your tradition, Alan, but the parents are the primary educators, not the government. We do see a need for government schools, public schools, but I think the parents should be supported. After all, they are paying taxes. There just isn't one choice. In my opinion, there just shouldn't be one choice public schools to get that benefit. Alan, how does private schools in your tradition work?
Just the way you described, it's those who want to send their kids to Jewish day schools have a tremendous burden. And if you look at the statistics about who sends their kids to Jewish day schools, there's a decline in it because of the tremendous expense. But the issue that you raise about who should support it. In the Jewish community, there is a tremendous fear of any kind of government support of private schools, or parochial schools, the whole issue being the separation of church and state, and the concern that, at least for the Jewish community, you don't want government involved in any way in religious observance, religious institutions, things of that nature. But there are some people in the Jewish community, especially in the Orthodox world, who would challenge that. But I think the mainstream in Jewish political thought in the United States is government out of private schools in terms of funding or anything else.
Yeah, and we would agree with that as well. That's why I see a solution to that, just like we have with food stamps. Those who receive food stamps, they choose which grocery stores they go to. And so the money is directed by the person who receives the benefit. And this could all be solved if the parents could receive, let's say, education stamps or something, and they can direct whatever school they want to go to, and the government doesn't have to be involved in it at all. It'd be similar to getting a tax credit. That certain things could come about. I think I have spent close to $1 million after paying for 106 years of private Catholic school education on tuition, and none of that, unless it was a tithe, was allowed to be deducted. And so if deductions, credits could be a way that keep the freedom of choice. You know, we talk about this choice, and we ought to have freedom of choice on so many things, but it seems like we don't have the freedom of choice, if you're poor, to send your children to a religious or a private school.
You know, I'm a product of the public school systems of Texas, the school systems that I went to were pretty excellent. Got a great education. Priscilla and I have no children in our home, and we are glad to pay taxes that support the general welfare of the whole community in Missouri. Yeah, where we live, and whatever portion of our federal income tax goes to support education on the national level, we're proud of that it absolutely supports families that could never even dream of going to a private school and don't have that privilege, and that there's a lot of us who fear the greater privileging through tax credits or through vouchers for even more money to go to those who already have, and less money for the really, really poor who are behind as it is. We think that's a faithful thing to pay our taxes and to participate in the community, to support the whole community, and that however nettlesome those decisions are and the debates are about those schools, that we're in this together, and that if you want religious instruction, you can pay for that. If that's the way that you would like to go and you want that extra on top of it, but public education is the bedrock for our democracy and will make for better citizens, and we're just very proud to support it.
And we're not
576. You know what? 7710 is the number to call. We're going to take a quick break. Right after these messages, we're going to be right back.
Kansas City's home of Mark Levin. Mark Levin.
So the bigger problem or the bigger issue is the welfare state. It's the welfare state, whether we're talking about longtime American citizens, Hispanics, Asians, Blacks, Whites, everything in between. It's the welfare state that's killing the Republican Party, just as it's killing the nation.
The Great One. Weekdays 5 to 8 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Raising kids can be tough these days. As a parent, you've got your hands full making sure your kids have what they need to stay healthy and get the care they need when they're sick. Well, now there's help. Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program offer free or low-cost health insurance for kids and teens, all the way up to age 19. They can get regular checkups, immunizations, doctor and dentist visits, hospital care, mental health services, prescriptions, and more. Children in a family of four earning up to $47,700 a year or more may qualify. And parents may be eligible for Medicaid, too. It's a helping hand for parents with their hands full. For more information, go online to insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. That's 1-877-543-7669. Enrollment is open year-round, but why wait? A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
KCMO Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7. Covering Kansas City like never before. Yeah, you're covered. This is KCMO.
Good morning. You've got religion on the line here at 710 AM, 103.7 FM. Do give us a call at 576-7710. 576-7710 here at KCMO Radio. Talk Radio, Religion on the Line. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon Dr. John Perk, president of the St. Michael the Archangel High School, along with
Rabbi Alan Londi of the New Reform Temple.
And we were having a spiritual conversation about education, and sometimes what's brought up is that government should not be supporting religious education. But in a private school, out of 7 hours, only one of those hours is devoted to religious education. And I would agree we wouldn't want the government supporting that either. But there's no difference between our math, our science, our English, our government, or our social studies.
Oh, there could be, though, John. There really could be. And the science at a fundamentalist Christian school that promotes creationism is not a kind of science that I want children that are, go to Community Christian Church or other places to learn only if they're exposed to it as a potential theory or, as an alternative view. That's fine. But I want people to be taught the mainstream of scientific inquiry. And there are gross differences even in the subject matter outside the religious sphere, in my opinion.
Well, having seven children, I've never worried too much about that. It seems to me that there are those who just want to control things, and we see those who are just limited and they can only go to public schools and government schools, and what you get is what the latest flavor of whatever the government's promoting. We see this in the Common Core curriculum, states and and school districts are rebelling against it. They disagree with the reading list. They disagree with many things in the program, and it's government initiated. It's private funded initiated, but it's government promoted.
What is being promoted, John?
The Common Core curriculum in the schools.
Yeah, and what is wrong with the Common Core from your perspective?
The in our schools, we have what's called a Catholic Core, which exceeds the Common Core in every standard. And the problem you have is that if the only choice that parents have is the public schools, then whatever flavor of philosophy or an indoctrination or changing of the cultural morality is forced upon the children in the school without the parents' permission.
Forced on them?
Well, we have marriages no longer between a man and a woman being forced upon them in public schools. You could say, on one hand, there's a conservative ideology, but there's also a liberal ideology. It goes both ways. And I think our listeners know what that would be. And if we have any listeners out there who run into these examples or these experiences in the schools,
like to hear
give
from
us
that.
A call.
Yeah, and the majority of the parents that I know at Community Christian Church and around the city, I don't think one parent has raised that as an issue of their concern, or even that it was even broached as a subject in the public schools. Not once. I would imagine that well over half of our kids live in Johnson County, and that is not a bastion of liberalism in the public schools, as far as I've been able to discern. Yeah. Anyway, the matters of religious instruction leads me to ask this. Do you have a thing, Alan, called Sunday school?
Yes.
And it's different than a Christian Sunday school, for sure.
Yes.
It's a school that happens on Sunday, right?
Yes.
But it would be interesting, though, about religious instruction and an interesting study that has been done. And I cannot remember the institution that did it, but those churches that have kids in worship and then have another Sunday school moment will lead to a deeper, long-lasting faith than those that have the Sunday school at the same hour as worship and the kids don't go to worship at all, ever, from infancy all the way through high school.
It's interesting that one of the best components of our Sunday school, and I'll leave here and go to our synagogue to be part of that. The first half hour is worship, which I lead with mm-hmm. someone else. I give.
These are adults and
well,
kids.
What's beautiful is that the kids come and many of the parents stay, and they see it as probably the high point of their religious experience for the entire week.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a half an hour of worship that leads into study, and it's a really nice mixture.
John, in Catholic tradition, is there a Sunday school hour that is different than the worship hour? Because the masses that I've been to, the families are all together, children and everything else.
Yeah, 1 hour before that mass, the public school kids attend a Sunday morning catechism class.
Okay. We're going to be back after some messages, and we're going to be here at 576-7710. Listen to some news, pay some bills. You give us a call here at Religion on the Line, 576-7710.